You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. This episode is being released on October 10th, 2024. And this week we're talking about how Christians can engage in business out in the world without compromising their convictions. This topic is inspired by the news that came out this week regarding the Colorado baker who has repeatedly been targeted for refusing to bake cakes that conflict with his religious convictions. The good news is that the Colorado Supreme Court has just ruled in his favor after he was sued for refusing to bake a cake to celebrate a gender transition. We're going to talk about this today. For links to the story we're talking about, as well as some other related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/10-10-24. Now for our story this week. Baker Jack Phillips wins at Colorado Supreme Court after 12 years of battling for Christian beliefs. From CBN News, the Colorado Supreme Court ruled in favor of long-embattled Christian baker Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop on Tuesday. The state's high court dismissed the case Masterpiece Cake Shop versus Scardina because the attorney who was targeting Phillips did not follow the correct process in suing him, according to his attorneys at Alliance Defending Freedom. This win ends 12-plus years of harassment, and the Supreme Court decision in 303 Creative protects Jack going forward, ADF stated online. In this latest case against Phillips, he had declined to make a cake celebrating a gender transition. It started in 2017 when Autumn Scardina called Phillips' suburban Denver cake shop requesting a cake that had blue frosting on the outside and was pink inside to celebrate a gender transition. Jack said he couldn't bake the cake due to his religious convictions, so Scardina sued him. Later in the article, it says, since 2012, the owner of Masterpiece Cake Shop has been targeted nonstop and has continually found himself in court defending his religious beliefs. In 2018, Phillips won a partial victory at the U.S. Supreme Court after declining to make a cake celebrating a gay wedding because of his religious beliefs. Now, the targeting of this man by homosexual and now transgender activists has been going on for a long time. That article says it's been going on for 12 years. I used his case as an example in an article I wrote on secularism back in 2017, and I'll link to that in the show notes if you want to check that out. But I was not aware of this latest court battle until I saw this article that we're talking about here today. But this shows just how our society has progressed even further away from godly principles in the last 7 years. Previously, he was targeted by those who were supporting same-sex marriage, so-called, and now he's being targeted for not supporting gender transitions. Now, more broadly, this story is an example about how Christians can be pressured to compromise their convictions in order to earn a living. This could be as a business owner or as an employee or a contractor or a freelancer, and it may not be a high-profile case like this one is, but we could be tempted to lie in order to make a sale, to drink in order to network with clients, to forsake the assembly in order to get ahead on some big project that we have going on. There are a few ideas I want us to consider here today. First, we should not compromise our convictions for money. Now, people go into business to make money, and there is nothing wrong with that. Christians are sometimes wary of money or of making money, but there are many good things that we can do with money. We can take care of ourselves, as Paul wrote about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, nor do we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with labor and hardship we kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have the right to this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you so that you would follow our example. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order, if anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. We need to be willing to work and do so that we would not be in any need. We can provide for our families. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, if anyone does not provide for his own and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. He used very strong language there to describe our responsibility in that regard to provide for our families. We can help those who are in need. Paul told the Ephesians, "He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who has need." We talked about how we are to be willing to work in order to provide for ourselves, but some people, they might be willing to work, but they're not able to work, or they're going through some particularly difficult circumstance and they just can't get ahead. Well, through the money that we earn, we could help those individuals. We can also give to support the work of the local church. Paul told the brethren in Corinth, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come." Now, there are a couple other things that could be added to that list. For more on that topic, you can check out the article that I have linked in the show notes called Money Matters. That goes into that in more detail, and also some other principles about what the Bible teaches about money. But the point is that there is a lot of good that we can do with money. However, we do need to guard against the love of money. Paul said, "For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs." This love of money develops when we turn money into an idol. Well, how do we know when money has become an idol for us? Well, it's when we will do anything in order to obtain it, even if it means compromising our convictions and doing things that we know to be wrong, in order to obtain more of it. That needs to be avoided. Second, more information about something may require us to stop participating in it. In the lawsuit, the baker was sued for refusing to make a cake that celebrated a so-called gender transition. Now, if the customer simply asked for a pink cake with blue frosting, he might have been able to make that. But when they told him it was to celebrate a gender transition, well, then he couldn't participate in that without violating his conscience. This is the same principle as what Paul described when he talked about eating meats that were sacrificed to idols. Notice what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. "All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. Eat anything that is sold in the meat market without asking questions for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. If one of the unbelievers invites you and you want to go, eat anything that is set before you without asking questions for conscience sake. But if anyone says to you, 'This is meat sacrificed to idols,' do not eat it. For the sake of the one who informed you and for conscience sake, I mean not your own conscience, but the other man's. For why is my freedom judged by another's conscience?" Now, in that passage, Paul described eating meat that may have been used in idol worship. Now, he already told them back in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 that idols were nothing, and someone who had that knowledge could eat without connecting that meat to the idolatrous practices. But not everyone could do that. Many would associate the meat with the worship of that idol. So in this passage, when someone revealed more information that the meat was used in idol worship, Paul said they were to change their behavior. They were no longer to partake of it. There may be certain situations that we find ourselves in which we might ask no questions for conscience sake. We might go out and eat at our favorite restaurant, enjoy a meal, and go home, and all of that is fine. But if that same restaurant announced that all proceeds from this particular night would go to support gender transitions or some other activity or cause that is contrary to the will of God, well, then, based upon Paul's instructions there, we would no longer participate. The point is that as we learn more about what is going on around us, we may need to adjust what we do and how we do it. We do not want to give the appearance of supporting things that are against God and His will. And third, I want to consider the role of the civil government here. The baker was targeted using the civil courts, using the legal system. If this decision had gone the other way and they ruled against him, he could have been fined, potentially forced to close his business, or even go to prison. I don't think we're quite that far in this country, but who knows when we will be. Now, is that a legitimate function of government? Well, remember what Paul wrote about regarding what God ordained about the function of civil government in Romans chapter 13. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. It is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. The wise man said, it is not good to fine the righteous, nor to strike the noble for their uprightness. This man simply wanted to operate his business and provide for his family. He also did not want to support a cause that he recognized as being contrary to the will of God. That was a righteous decision on his part. And a government that fulfills its God-given role will not fine someone like that. Instead, the authorities, acting by God's design, should be punishing those who have been harassing this man, not allowing them to bring all these lawsuits against him in the courts. Yet the fact that they would even allow these lawsuits to be considered shows just how close it is to the point in which they would rule the other way. We need to pray for civil authorities that we can continue to enjoy the freedoms that we have now. Paul told Timothy, first of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But while we pray for that, we also need to be ready to say no if the authorities ever demand that we do something that is contrary to what is right. We need to answer like Peter, when he and the apostles were told not to preach anymore. He said, we must obey God rather than men. So it is good when men are free to live out their convictions based upon biblical principles without fear of harm. But even if we are threatened, we must not compromise our convictions, but instead continue to do what is right. If the truth becomes more unpopular in our culture and in our society, let us not abandon our faith. And also, let us not allow money to become an idol for us so that we will do anything, even what we know to be wrong, in order to obtain it. Well, that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Hope you found this episode to be helpful. For links to the story we talked about and some other related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/10-10-24. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast and share it with others, that is always appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we also upload video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you prefer to watch this on video, that option is always there for you. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see the other videos that we post here from time to time. And if you see a news story or have some topic that you think would make for a good discussion, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.